Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to what I call this week of divine mercy, the mercy of God. Oh, how I want to praise God for his mercy toward us, because without it, we perish. We really do perish. But it's not something that you can take for granted, like, oh, God's merciful. It doesn't matter what I did. It matters very much what you did. But if you come humbly to God and ask for forgiveness, then the mercy comes. Because what comes is God himself. It's not just an external act, I forgive you. It's not that. When God forgives, God infuses us more and more with his life. And the more we see our sin and repent of our sin, the more the fullness of his life flows in us and through us. Pope Francis, who I was reading to you yesterday, says this: the heart of God's salvation is his Son, who took upon himself our sins, our pride, our self-reliance, our vanity, our desire to be like God. A Christian who is not able to glory in Christ crucified has not understood what it means to be Christian. Our wounds, those which sin leaves in us, are healed only through the Lord's wounds, through the wounds of God made man, who humbled himself, who emptied himself. Christ took upon himself the effects of all our sin. That's what his wounds testify to. We want to be lost in his wounds. Our sin, forgiven, is lost in his wounds. And we don't have to carry it anymore. He carried it for us. Pope Francis continues, "The cross is a mystery, the mystery of the love of God who humbles himself, who empties himself." And then Pope Francis says, "Where is your sin? Your sin is there on the cross. Go and look for it there in the wounds of the Lord, and your sins shall be healed. Your wounds shall be healed. Your sins shall be forgiven. God's forgiveness is not a matter of canceling a debt we have with him. God forgives us in the wounds of his Son lifted up on the cross." So it's not just an objective, what do I want to say? It's not just a transaction between God and us, and he marks canceled on our wounds. No, our wounds, once forgiven, are lost in the very wounds of Christ. If you want to see your sin, look at the cross. That's what your sin caused, but he took it on himself, not to humiliate you, not to burden you, but to set you free. It's always the paradox. Because when Christ forgives, Christ sets us free. We just have to ask for it. We don't assume it. We come and ask for forgiveness. And when we do, then God not only cancels the debt, but he sets us free. We draw closer to him. He draws us to himself even more. So Satan wants to tell you, you sinned, you're not a real Christian, you're a hypocrite, you're this, you're that, you can't be a follower of Christ. That's what Satan will say to us, when in reality, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and some of that burden is our sin. Come to me. Be lost in the arms and the heart of Christ. Receive the mercy that he has for you. The first reading for today, again, is from the Acts of the Apostles, as they experience quite a tumultuous time, you know, of joy, of realization that Jesus really is the Christ, and yet at the same time running up against the officials and being arrested and being thrown in jail and being brought out before mobs. And it's a very tumultuous time. But the high priest rose up and all his companions, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy because the apostles had been testifying to who the Lord was and what they used every opportunity, even when they were brought into court, to testify because they knew it was true. So they were put in the public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, "Go, take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life." See that? The Lord gets them out of prison, says, go back and testify again. When they heard this, they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. Even though they had already been arrested, I don't know about you, but I would be a little bit afraid, a little squeamish. But they go. They do what God tells them because they know it's true. And because they know it's true, they have courage and they're bold. When the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. But the court officers who went did not find them in the prison. Read this whole section. You're only getting a portion of this. They were in jail. The angel comes, gets them out. The jailers don't even know that they've been taken out. The court officers who went did not find them in the prison, so they came back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, the guards stationed outside the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Impossible, you say. But it happened. When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were at a loss about them as to what this would come to. Then someone came in and reported to them, "The men whom you put in prison are in the temple area and teaching the people." And the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. This is one of the times when the leadership, even the religious leadership, is clueless, and the people themselves know the truth, and they will not be shut up. If you know the truth, where does God want you to use your voice? And how? Psalm 34, "The Lord hears the cry of the poor." That's us. We are poor. But if we cry out to the Lord for everything we need, never thinking that something is too small or too big, give him every need, he will hear us. He brings us through a path of purification, but he will hear us. Never doubt that. And the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, sent by the Father to redeem us? Is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. Don't we? We want to be secure in what we know. Don't open us to any ideas, even if we're living a lie. Don't open us to new ideas. We're fine just where we are. We are so deaf, dumb, and blind most of the time, brothers and sisters. People prefer darkness to light. Do you? "Because their works were evil." It's true. We do what we do. We think what we think. All to advance ourselves, all to advance our own reputation, our own influence, our own prestige, no matter how small that might be or small the circle of people that might affect. But that's always what we do. Me, me, me. And then maybe somewhere down the line we include Jesus. It has to be reversed. And only God can do that. But if you ask him for it, he will turn your life around. Sometimes he'll turn it upside down and inside out. But you'll never be so happy. I promise you that. "Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth of who God is and the truth of who I am a son or a daughter of God. I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God, but I seek to follow him more and more closely that I might be transformed." That's who I am. And who is he? My God, my Savior, my Lord. He is everything for me. Everything. Whoever lives the truth, that's what I just described. Whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. I want what I think and what I say and what I do every day, I want it to glorify him. I want it to honor him. I want people to love him more because they have been in contact with me. Do I succeed? No. Do I succeed every once in a while? Yes. And the yeses become more the more I give my life to God. The more I begin to see the fruit of the work of his hands, the more I want to follow him. Brothers and sisters, come on to that path. It's a wonderful path. It's a life-giving path. It's a path that will bring you joy. In St. Faustina's diary, who I've been reading from this week periodically for your own reflection, Jesus says to her this, let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. My daughter, write about my mercy toward tormented souls, souls that make an appeal to my mercy, delight me. To such souls I grant even more graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. But on the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. And then he says to St. Faustina, write this, before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. Before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. There's both promise, comfort, and a warning. If we refuse to come to him, if we refuse to seek his mercy, then we will have to walk through the door of his justice. Brothers and sisters, don't withhold yourself from the mercy of God. Don't withhold yourself from the mercy of God. God is so good. God is so kind. God is so loving. Please, open your heart. Face your weakness. He says also this to St. Faustina, Apostle of my mercy, proclaim to the whole world my unfathomable mercy. Do not be discouraged by the difficulties you encounter in proclaiming my mercy. These difficulties that affect you so painfully, people rejecting what she was saying, are needed for your sanctification and as evidence that this work is mine. My daughter, be diligent in writing down every sentence I tell you concerning my mercy, because this is meant for a great number of souls who will profit from it. We're among those souls who can profit. We are. He called St. Faustina his secretary of divine mercy. That's why he's telling you to write down everything. It was John Paul who brought this great feast to conclusion. May you know it, brothers and sisters, in your own life. I want to offer you a free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. If you'd like a copy of my CD, Captured by Mercy, which is on forgiveness, you can access that by going to our website, renewalministries.net.